Hello, everyone.
All right, my brain like completely blanked for a second. I was like, what am I doing? Like, why are we here?
Welcome back, everybody, to our second episode of Murder Myth 3.
Yes, welcome to Murder Myth 3. Don't mind the brain fart, because that happens.
Yeah, happens to us all.
Katie drew on the last episode, we were talking about Germany today. And
for those who didn't join us last week, the other one is Andrew.
Yes, I'm Andrew.
If you're just joining us for the first week, we go country to country and talk about just all sorts of stuff. Mythology, the macabre, witchcraft, ghost stories, cryptids, we want.
Whatever tickles our fancy each week.
Whatever we feel.
Always staying on brand as best we can.
Yeah. Although, I feel like we're going to go off brand next week, but more on that later.
Yeah. We're going to get to that in a moment.
Yes. Like Andrew said, we are in Germany this week.
Yeah, and the wonderful Katie created a special little drink for us to have.
Yeah, the original plan was to create my own cocktail every week, but I feel like that's too ambitious of a goal for me, so I'll do it as I can, or I will pick a cocktail to go with the theme. But this week, I made up my own. I created the assignment, and then I failed the assignment because I got none of those ingredients to make this drink. So if it tasted like shit, Andrew, I'm sorry, because Andrew did complete the assignment.
I did complete the assignment. And I'm not drinking it right now because
you drank it earlier this week when we were supposed to record.
Yeah, I drank it. I drank it the day that we initially had intended to record this, and you know, talk about all these wonderful things in Germany. The syrup that I made, it has now had to be tossed because I made too much of it.
Oh, that happens. Oh, syrup, by the way, the name of this cocktail, it's called the Sparkling Stuttgart. That's what I named it. Stuttgart is, if you look it up online, or if you've been there, obviously, this is more exciting for you, but I've never been there. I've never been to Europe. So Stuttgart
one day
is adorable, though. I was looking up towns in Germany that started with S to go with sparkling, and I stumbled on Stuttgart, and I'm like, oh my god, this is too cute for words. So it has all different, like, colored houses, and I don't know, it just looks so cute. So I picked that. So you start with Riesling, which I'm aware is not from Stuttgart, but I make my own rules here. And then you add a homemade blackberry syrup, and then you can add tonic water to make it sparkling, or you can just get a barefoot sparkling Riesling if that tickles your fancy. So
I used, I didn't use tonic water, but I did use the Pellegrino, just sparkling mineral water, and it was pretty freaking delicious. I did have to use more of the blackberry syrup than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. I ended up making like a huge mess on the stove because I didn't pay attention for 0.2 seconds, and in that 0.2 seconds, it boiled over.
Oh, shit. So, it boiled over.
That was fun. But it was really good, and everybody liked it because of the fact that I made so much. It was like, hey, y'all can have some. Please use it.
Everybody want to drink this? Did they just use the syrup as they needed it, or did they also have a sparkling Stuttgart?
They use it as they needed it, because I only got enough of the Riesling and the Pellegrino for my shelf. But I ended up getting like two things of blackberries and turned that into syrup, and it was a lot.
Nice. So two thumbs up on my first cocktail, I guess, guys.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I'll never know, but
try it. You like it.
I'm excited for next week's cocktail, but we'll get to it.
We're going to get to it.
That's not going to be revealed until next week.
Yeah.
So,
we're just going to hint at it. And
yeah, we're just
going to
keep telling you about it and tease you. It's a little teaser. So, Germany, we're here. One of us is queer.
Get used to it.
Although one of us is half queer-ish. Anyway. So, Andrew's going to kick it off with some kick-ass mythology from Germany.
Well, not so much mythology. To kind of disclaimer, there wasn't anything German-specific. There was a general area of mythology for Germanic mythology. And it kind of ties in a lot of, like, Norse, Scandinavian, all that other type of wonderful mythology that also Hungary hails from.
I figure you're dealing more with, when you're thinking folklore. Germany, yeah, folk tales, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I actually have two things.
Two stories?
I have two stories.
I feel like my kids, two books tonight?
Two stories.
Two. It's like five.
One of which, you know what? I'm just gonna let you figure it out. So the first thing, the first story I have is about Weiße Frauen, or the white women. These are depicted to be like elves with inspiration coming from Germanic paganism, the light elves from Germanic paganism. These spirits are seen to be enchanting and just absolutely beautiful. If you're lucky enough.
They sound nice.
Yeah. Like just reading about them just a little bit that I was able to see in like our artist renditions of what Weiße Frauen was supposed to look like. They're just beautiful creatures.
I'm kind of envisioning the, what are they from Harry Potter? The, what, Fleur Delacour, she's like half of Vila? Is that
yeah. Vila.
Kind
yeah.
of like that? Yeah.
That's so kind funny that you say that because we were actually watching Goblet of Fire last night. And
that's the best one. I don't care what anyone says.
And we were talking about like the differences between the books and like, the entire movie. We didn't even watch the movie. We were just talking about it.
Mystery Science Theater 3000 style.
Exactly. And I brought it up. I was like, and then I felt wrong, but I was like, wait, no, that's part of the book. Yeah, that's precisely what I kind of got from the pictures.
Sorry. Sorry, I just say I have the black lung.
You don't have to be sorry. It's okay. If you are lucky enough to see one, it will more likely be midday. They're seen like pampering themselves in the sunlight or bathing in a brook.
Girl, treat yourself.
Yeah, girl, get it. If you really want to find one and be adventurous, you could even go to a haunted castle. Or even look for some kind of, like, hidden treasure somewhere, because they're also said to have, like, be guarding treasure or haunting a castle. Oh. So, find a castle and you might see one, especially in Germany.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And careful, though. They may try to trick you into breaking the spell that they are under. We are going to touch base on that here in just a moment. Actually, right now.
Just building up that anticipation. We'll cover that later. Right now.
We're going to cover that later. Now. So, I mean, you might be wondering, like, why they're under a spell or how they came under a spell. There is only a one-word answer for this.
Drugs.
Christianity. Same thing.
Oh, God, I was so close. That's worse.
I'm
just kidding. I don't want to alienate any, like, Christian listeners that we have out there, for sure. So, you know, just try to take us with a grain of salt. We may make jokes at your expense, but I feel like Andrew in particular has earned that.
Yes. So to expand on that, early Christians are said to have placed a symbolic ban on the divinities of older faith, which includes the Weiße Frauen, the spirits...
The war on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's something different.
And it actually does make sense that this would happen from Christianity, especially when you look at the history of Christianity and the bloodshed that has been caused. And,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's something we refer to as pagan erasure.
Yes. fortunately, paganism has been seeing a big resurgence, I guess you could say.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Listened into a couple of pagans right here. Well, I don't know about Andrew, but definitely me.
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
Oh, yeah, sure, you betcha. And we're all from Wisconsin.
Don't you know? You know.
That's how you know.
I mean, I'm just going to say it. It's in my notes. I mean, Christianity does have a history of, like, bloodshed that's been caused by Christianity being forced upon a lot of different people throughout the centuries. It's been spread out across the world in many different types of wars. And although there's been a lot of Christian branches, I guess you could say, that are working towards not continuing that mindset of everyone has to be a Christian, which is fantastic.
Acceptance.
Yes.
Tolerance.
It is in the past. It is going to stay there, but it doesn't mean we're not going to talk about it because we talk about ancient things here. Mm. Now, what happens if the spell gets broken is a mystery because they never seem to be able to convince anyone to do it.
Foiled
this could
again.
Be due to the... What?
I said foiled again.
Drats!
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for that dog and those kids.
Ruh-roh.
I remember that episode.
Which one?
You know, the one where they go to Germany and...
Oh, yeah. And they unmask the Draco Malfoy for ruining their plans.
No, I am Draco Malfoy.
I go in pants, too.
And yes, my father will be hearing about this.
Yes. Oh. Okay. Where was I?
We don't even, this is not a historical podcast. This is just our random shit disguised as a historical podcast.
Let's just be honest here. We talk about history, but really we just use this to talk shit.
History.
What's history? To go back to this spell, the fact that it hasn't been broken by anybody could be due to the fact that one of the most prominent belief systems out there is Christianity. I personally would like to think that they would finally be free to do as they wish and wouldn't be limited in what and where they can go and do. It just really feels like they're somehow trapped in this realm by the spell they are under.
Fucking 2020, man.
I mean...
Get on this. Don't let them control your life.
I mean, 2020 has pretty much taken the reins on what's happening right now. So we're just...
Yeah, and like, what the fuck have you got to lose now?
Like, let's face it. Going back to talking about where the Vice of Frauen has come from... they have origins that go back to Norse mythology from the realm of Alfheim, where light elves live. They had come to Earth to live within nature, oftentimes seen to represent ancestral spirits or older native goddesses and nature spirits. That is pretty much all there is to know about Vice of Frauen. So I have one more thing I would really like to talk about that is just absolutely fascinating. Dude, this next story... Like, you know how when you read something and it's just so good, like, your mouth just hangs open in just disbelief of what you're reading, but you're so interested in it? This is the story of the Godfather Death. This story was written by the Brothers Grimm.
Yes! I talk about them, too!
I mean, come on. Did you really think that I could talk about Germany and not mention the Brothers Grimm?
I don't think you could have, because my research inevitably led to the Brothers Grimm as well.
Well, I'm glad that the Godfather Death story is not coming up because you seem very surprised.
Oh, no. Different story.
Yes! They have so many, and they're so good, and they're so dark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. So, with the Godfather Grimm, there is a dude who is super poor and already has 12 children. When this guy has a 13th child, he goes in search for a godfather for this child, his son. While walking around, he comes across God, who offers to be the child's godfather, giving the boy health and happiness. While thinking about
sense.
Right? While thinking about this option, the guy figures out that he is speaking with God himself and, get this, declines.
I mean, I would maybe, like, consider my options. You don't just get an automatic win because you're God.
Right? The reason he declines is because God condones poverty.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, already I like this father because mm-hmm. he doesn't want his child to experience the same poverty he has had to endure.
Oh.
Right? Health and happiness doesn't necessarily mean that you're not poor and potentially dying of something. Mm-hmm.
Exactly why I'm not a Christian, too.
So this father proceeds on his way. A little while later, he comes across the devil, who also offers to be the son's godfather, promising the child gold and all the world's joys. The father then figures out that he is speaking to the devil and declines his offer as well. Mm. Would you like to take a guess of what the reasoning would be?
Because the devil only does things to piss off God, or...
Close. His reasoning is because the devil has this nasty habit of deceiving everyone.
Oh, well, yeah, because you can't fucking trust him.
Right.
And he went to Georgia that one time.
Yeah, there's something about a fiddle. Looking for a soul to steal.
Wasn't this guy's baby.
No, wasn't this guy's baby. Then the father meets Death. Who does become the son's godfather. Mm-hmm. Why does Death become the godfather?
Because he's neutral?
Yes. Basically, to elaborate, Death takes away everyone, rich or poor, without discrimination.
Mm-hmm. When it's the quote-unquote right time.
Exactly. So fast forward some time to when the son comes of age. Godfather Death takes the boy to the woods and shows him where some herbs grow that can heal and cure just about anything.
CBD, CBD.
It was the marijuanas.
It was the cannabis.
Death tells the boy that he is going to become a famous physician with Death's help. Basically, how this works is whenever the boy visits someone who is sick, Death will appear at either the head or the feet of the person. Whoa. If the boy sees Death at the head, the herb can be given and the person who will be cured and continue to live.
What?
But if Death is at the feet, that means the person doesn't have much longer to live and will not be given the herb.
Oh my God. Do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Did you ever see Gladiator?
Yes. Yes, I
when
did.
Commodus, like, holds out his thumb and, like, either gives him the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Oh, yeah.
Such a dramatic
like,
scene.
Like, holding it. Pointing
like
out to
sideways,
the side.
Yeah, and the whole crowd's like, meh, and he's all, yeah, Maximus, you're good. And at the end, he's all, nah, dog, I'm gonna kill you.
Nah, dog, you dummy wrong.
Spoiler alert, but that movie came out 20 years ago, so.
If you haven't seen it, get on it.
It's one of the greatest movies of all time. You've got to watch
it. Really is. So this goes on for some time, and the boy becomes hella famous. Like, he is now this famous physician, and it's like it's to the point that when the king himself becomes very ill, this boy is called, or this physician is called, to his bedside. Once there, the physician sees Death at the king's feet. Uh-oh. This time, the boy does not agree with this, so he decides he is going to trick Death himself.
Oh no.
And this dude spins the king so that Death is at the king's head, thus allowing the physician to give the king the herb that cures him, that makes him better. Death does not like this and gives the boy a warning that if it happens again, the physician will die.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool, though, that he gave him a warning. He's like, all right, like, that was clever. Don't
like,
do that shit
godson.
Again.
You're my godson. Like...
Good. I'll give you that one. That was good. You got me. Hey.
Like, hey.
Hey, you spinning around. I didn't see that coming, but okay.
I didn't think you could
but
think of doing that.
Cut that shit off.
So, I mean, obviously the physician is like, oh, shit, okay. Might not want to do that.
He means business.
Until.
He met a girl. Wait.
The prince, yes, the princess gets sick.
I knew it. It's always the pussy that sways them.
That pussy slap.
She's got that WAP that everyone's been talking about. Which, hi, you guys, Italian here, not enjoying the WAP song.
So the princess gets sick, and the king promises his daughter's hand in marriage to the physician if he can cure her. The boy, or sorry, I wrote the boy. He's actually the physician at this point.
He's a grown-ass man. Damn it.
He's a man.
So the physician agrees and wants at the princess's bedside. Guess where death is?
At the foot, because he's a twat blocker.
At the fucking foot
twat
of the
blocker.
Bed. So this bitch is supposed to die.
That's rude.
But clouded by the idea of becoming king by marrying the princess he wants again.
Wait. He only wanted to do it to become king. Fuck
yeah.
The patriarchy. Death, kill this guy.
He wanted to be wealthy, and he wanted to be the king, and he wanted to marry the princess. I guess she was supposed to be beautiful or some shit like that. So he turns the princess around. So death is at the head and gives her the herb. What I'm getting from this, honestly, is that he was only able to give the herb if death was at the head. Like, death had to be at the head. Like, the herb didn't work if death was at the feet and it was given to the person.
Yeah, because otherwise he would just be like, no, I'm not going to do that. And just give them the herbs.
Right. So now death is pissed.
Oh, honey, no. You gone did it. You did it.
You done did it.
I'm not going to do it. I did it.
So he grabs the physician and drags this fucker to a cavern that has a shit ton of candles. Death explains that each candle is someone's life.
Oh.
Some are shorter than others. Some are longer. They vary in...
Why is this not a movie?
The boy sees his candle and it's about to run out.
The man.
Or the physician, sorry. The physician sees his candle and it's about to run out. Like, it's hella short. Like, this dude fucked up.
Oh, shit.
The physician then begins to beg that death light another candle so that he can be king and live a longer life.
Oh, God. Is there some reincarnation coming?
Well, Death agrees and reaches into his robes, but what he pulls out is not a candle.
Giggity.
It's his scythe.
Oh, no.
He slashes the physician's candle, making the flame go out. As the boy falls, Death whispers. You ready for this? Ready?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
You once looked for the most righteous one to be the godfather of your child. But at the bed of death, you betrayed that and instead grasped for the life of another. Now sleep, my unwise apprentice. Tell me that does not fuck your shit up.
I don't even have words right now. I'm like grabbing my cheeks because I'm like, this needs to be a movie immediately.
It does. It does need to be a movie.
That's so good.
Like,
how is this story not more well known? Oh my God. That was awesome. Because that one wasn't in the Heath Ledger movie.
No, it was not.
Wow. That was good. Bravo.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Jeez.
I couldn't help but talk about it. Like that.
Girl, you did so good.
It was just like. The first words out of my mouth after I read that was like, what the fuck? I have got to write about this and talk about it.
I feel like my shit's not going to be as fun, but all right. Well, I am talking about the Black Forest.
So, ooh, like Black Forest ham?
So, well, kind of. First, you take 3 dark chocolate sponge cakes soaked in Kirsch cherry brandy and top it with homemade whipped cream, chocolate ganache, and cherries. Wait, no, that's Black Forest cake. Yes, I intentionally wrote all that down.
I love it.
I'm like, okay, I need to make sure I know all of the ingredients. Black Forest cake is delicious. And it is located in Southwest Germany, the actual Black Forest, not the cake. And to describe it as an enchanted forest would not be far off. So I've never been to Germany myself, but I Googled the Black Forest and looked at these photos. And I mean, I felt enchanted just looking at the photos. Like, I was incredibly drawn to it. It looks very, like, Lord of the Rings, old world, kind of just, but kind of creepy, and but also beautiful, and I'm rambling. But I'm probably drawn to the area because I'm, like, super fucking German.
I mean,
yeah,
same.
I did the Ancestry.com thing, and surprisingly was more German than anything else. I was 30% German, so that's a third of me, basically.
I think I'm going to do it.
I think you should. I have so much fun with it. I actually went to the premium membership, and I traced me and John's families back to the 1400s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the 1400s.
Yeah. And if you have, like, UK Northern European lineage, it's really easy to trace your family back. It's just if you have, sorry, I keep losing my voice. If you have French in you, you're not going to find a lot of information because France actually, I think, I'm not sure if it's illegal, but the genetic testing thing, they don't do it there. So,
it's because they're passing a lot of mistakes.
Maybe. I'm not sure of the reasoning. I actually just found this out today.
What are you trying to hide?
I tried to get into my Sicilian heritage, and those files you need to, like, upgrade for because they have, like, a super secure registry in Sicily. So, anyways, but so yeah, you should do Ancestry.com. Tangent. This is not even a sponsor. It's just us rambling on and on. So the Black Forest, it's vast and it's dark, and it is home to haunted castles, abandoned sites, witches, goblins, werewolves, spirits, and monsters.
All of the above.
Yes, please. It was also the inspiration for the tales of the Brothers Grimm.
Fantastic.
Which people, I did find this, yeah. People should know I found this note in my research, and it said that the Grimm's brothers didn't actually create any of the stories. They just merely wrote down all of the stories that had been a part of German folklore passed down from generation to generation. So I thought that was super cool.
No.
I had no idea. I was convinced that they wrote them themselves. But then again, I didn't write down my source for that, but I legit I've read it online. I'm not making it up. So, I mean, if you have anyone to blame, blame them. Just Google that shit. I'm sure you'll find it. So I'm losing my voice, so bear with me. I'm not just going to talk about the dark stuff and not acknowledge the good, because a lot of people fear that people avoid the dark Black Forest, because it's like, you know, the scary story place, but it's not. It's really beautiful, and if you have the opportunity to visit, you definitely should. I would. It's a gem.
I would love to visit.
Yeah, I definitely. If I go to Germany, I'm definitely going to the Black Forest, including to some of these places. There are some absolutely beautiful and picturesque sunlit landscapes, as well as, like, the thick, dark canopies where, like, elves and shit live.
Weiße Frauen.
Yes. and also, if you're into cuckoo clocks, which I know you are, right? Like, who isn't?
I actually like cuckoo clocks.
The work is beautiful. I just can't stand clocks in general because I can't stand... Well, it's not the cuckoo that bothers me. It's the tick, 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 tick. It's the repetition. I can't stand repetition. I can't do it. I hate repetition. If somebody's, like, kicking something over and over and over, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, I can't do anything repetitive. I can't listen to crickets. I can't listen to fucking mourning doves. They don't shut the hell up. It's
triggered.
One of my weird, weird quirks. Like, I can't deal with repetition. I also hate whistling.
I mean, guys, she gets annoyed with me when we're in the same room and I'm bouncing my leg, because I'll bounce my leg for hours without even realizing it. And she'd be like,
I can't stop. I can just cut that shit out. Yeah. And it's my son has a tendency to, he does rhythmic kicking and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm trying not to, because I know he's just, it's his tick. And so I'm trying not to say anything. But, yeah, again, tangents. Where was I? cuckoo clocks. I knew I was there. Okay, so yeah, if you're into cuckoo jobs, this cuckoo clocks, raindrop cuckoo clock, this place would be your jam. You can visit the world's largest cuckoo clock at the House of Black Forest Clocks, where you can see a vast variety of cuckoo clocks at the House of 1,000 Clocks.
Yes, please.
Raindrop clock shop.
Drop top.
So there's also spas, boutiques, all sorts of like touristy stuff, but definitely not in the dark areas of the forest.
Why not?
So I did some research and there was like so much information and so many stories that I decided to kind of give like an overview of everything. You know, that way I'm not going too deep into anything and people can look up what sounds interesting. So as far as creatures go, there are these water nymphs, and they're called Mummelsee, and they live within the waters of the Mummel Lake.
Okay.
Mummel, like Kurt Hummel with an M. And they spend their nights bathing in the lake in their full form, but when light touches the water, they turn into white water lilies floating on top of the water. I thought that was beautiful.
Oh, that's so magical.
I know. Some older stories state that these nymphs liked to have intercourse with the people who lived within the woods.
Oh.
Yes. And they would bring them pearls from the bottom of the waters as an offering. So basically, old school magical prostitution.
Is that where the term nympho comes into play? Is that where that comes
I'm
from?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think the creature of the nymph. I mean, they it was also described as like a mer person, but I don't know. I'm not quite sure what a nymph looks like, but as far as I know, I'm pretty sure that's where that term came from.
You nymphomaniac, you.
Now, there's also a creature called the tassel worm.
The what?
And the tassel worm. It's like a like pretzel worm.
Okay.
Sure. Oh, God. Pretzel and beer cheese. Now that's a German combination I want right now.
Yes, please. Carbs.
Yes. So the tassel worm, it's like part Asian dragon, part cat.
What?
And it has a snake-like body and two stubby front legs like my dog George, but it has no back legs. And it has scales and a cat face.
How? Okay. So it's a Chinese dragon with a cat face and...
But like, kind of like a snake.
Front stubby George legs. Kind of like a snake. How big
is
it?
It's like a dragon because it has wings, but it's like a snake with front legs.
Oh, it has wings too.
Yeah, I think. Maybe not. Maybe I think that's why I said it was like a dragon.
Is this...
Pretzel worm.
Pretzel worm. Is this worm like W-Y-R-M?
Yeah, W-U-R-M. Tassel worm. And no, it does not have wings.
Okay, okay, so okay, okay.
Scratch that.
Consider the wings scratched.
Cool. All right. So not part Asian dragon, but definitely snake cat with legs.
Snake cat with stubby George legs.
Now, here's the kicker. Its blood is entirely made up of acid.
Don't.
Yeah, don't even go there. So I think it makes it so, like, if you try and kill it, you also die if its blood, like, splatters all over you.
If I can't live, you can't live either.
Neither shall live while the other lives.
Survives.
Survives, thank you. God
damn
it. Edit that embarrassing shit out.
Oh, no, it's dang.
Damn it. Its bite is venomous, and yes, I confirmed in my research that it is instantly fatal to humans. So if you get bitten, you're fucked.
There is no grace period. It's just like,
no, you're dead.
You done dead did it.
And you're done. So there's been a lot of recorded sightings of this creature. I mean, like, a lot. I could not even jot them all down. Like, I just grabbed two. But I did jot down the website where you can find them. So,
yes.
That is cryptids.fandom.com. And they
cryptids
have, like...
Cryptids with a Z.
tatzelworm.fandom.com, and I guess you would just search tatzelworm. And they had dozens of sightings dating all the way back to 1779, when Hans Fuchs had laid eyes on the tatzelworm and immediately died of a heart attack. So kind of a basilisk effect going on there.
I had to pull up the website before I forgot about it, and this is just like
your jam.
Dragons and dragonoids, snakes, river monsters. They got all kinds of shit on here.
Yeah. So yeah, 1779 was the first sighting, kind of a basilisk effect. You know, he laid eyes on it, he died. And then there was a sighting as recent as 2009.
Really?
Yeah. Multiple residents of Treviso in Italy, called authorities to report sightings of the tatzelworm. Like, all over the town. And, like, some reports also referred to it as literally a basilisk. So I thought that was interesting. Or raptors, which was even more interesting in my...
Raptors.
Because are there dinosaurs hiding in Italy?
Is Italy actually Jurassic Park?
Oh, I hope so. That would be so cool, man. Oh, I do have another creature. Oh, no, this is not a creature. I'm sorry. This is just another story. Ghosts, actually. So in an area of the forest called Lokerberg, or Lotterberg, I'm not quite sure. I forgot to look it up. My bad. My bee. There is an ancient Celtic burial ground and temple, and it is said that late at night, when there is total peace and quiet, the ghosts of the Celts gather at the site. And I loved that. But if there's any noise, they vanish. They vanish. They just disappear.
Oh.
So if you see them, you just have to stay quiet, because they just gather at, like, the temple and pray, I'm assuming. But, yeah.
Aww. Leave
ghosts,
the peaceful creatures, alone.
Shut the hell up.
Don't draw attention. Just let them be.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for, like, my creatures, but I do have some legends that come from the Black Forest as well.
Yes.
There were some Franciscan monks that had a monastery in the Black Forest for over 400 years, and these monks focused on the spiritual well-being of the people, as well they should, as well our government should. Which included protecting them from poltergeists, which our government also should do.
I mean, yeah.
Supposedly, there were a bunch of ghosts on Fremersburg Mountain, and the monks fetched those ghosts and put them in these sacks, because, you know, we all know that ghosts are immune to burlap.
Ghosts are...
Sorry, I tickled myself.
If you're being haunted, just wear a burlap sack.
Just grab a fucking sack of potatoes, shake out those taters, and grab that ghost.
You just grab that ghost.
That's all you need. You don't need an exorcism. You just need burlap. Everybody knows.
Would have saved those priests a lot of trouble if they just used burlap.
Indeed. Just put a... Anyone who needs an exorcism, just tie a bag around her head. Oh, she's dead. I think it's breathable. I don't know.
I think
so. Yeah,
breathable.
they would put them in the sacks and then bury them in poltergeist graves. So apparently those are
What is a
more
poltergeist
secure
grave
than a regular grave?
But what is it like? What
I don't know.
Is it like a grave, but with
they
like
you just said it real casually, like I was supposed to know. So, yeah, there's that story.
Can we talk about that for a second? It's bugging me.
So they go on top of the mountain. They're like, come on, guys, grab your sack. And then they somehow grab hold of the poltergeist, shove it in a bag, carry it down the mountain, and bury it in a secure, non-human poltergeist grave.
Is the ground like consecrated? Is it like holy ground?
Maybe.
Is it like a specific plot of land that the ancients were like, this land right here, this specific spot is only for poltergeists?
We sprinkled it with Kool-Aid.
Yeah, there can only be poltergeists on this spot. if you don't put the poltergeist here, it defeats the purpose.
You will be haunted again. We are not climbing back up that mountain. We ran out of burlap.
It's like each grave has to be like dug and then lined with burlap and then covered with burlap.
Yes. Just wrapped in burlap.
It's just, not only do you have the poltergeist in this burlap sack, but you have to put it in this burlap grave, cover it with burlap, bury it, and then that way you can kind of stack them up onto each other.
Archaeologists in the future are going to dig up these grave sites and be like, oh, we discovered this like ancient German burial site, and there was a lot of burlap in there, but no bodies, and we don't understand why. We can't explain what these Franciscan monks were doing.
And then they're going to be haunted.
Yeah, they let the freaking poltergeist out.
They're going to end up making like a movie about it, like later down the road from that event, and then it's going to be like the poltergeist, but it's like the mummy.
Oh, God. That's, yep. Trademark. That's our idea, just in case. So, that's going to have us scratching our heads for a little while.
Yeah.
Next, we have the legend of the Hex von Dassenstein. And I got this from Webster's.net. Apparently, I, like halfway through my notes, decided to start citing people.
My site's Wikipedia.
Word. In the village of Koppelrodeck, there is an old legend surrounding the town's namesake family. So the Koppelrodeks.
The Koppel. I feel like you're going to say that differently every time, and I'm liking it.
Oh, no. I guess their name would be the Hex von Dassenstein.
Hex von Dassenstein.
Dassenstein. No, the town surrounding the town's names. It's just confusing. This is, by the way, this section is the only thing in my notes that is verbatim. I didn't write this section. That's why I'm struggling right now. The rest of it I wrote. So there's an old legend surrounding the town's namesake family. High on a hill sits Rodeck Castle, and that was for centuries the seat aristocratic family, excuse me. Centuries ago, legend has it that a beautiful daughter of the family fell in love with a peasant boy. Her powerful father forbid her to marry the boy.
Ariel!
But Daddy, no, I Daddy. Love him!
No, Daddy!
Daddy, I love him. I saw him for 2 seconds.
I must go up there. I want to be on land, Daddy.
You're just a child. No, I'm not. I'm 16. I practically have a high school graduate degree. Anyways, everybody saw the movie. The girl ran away to the other side of the valley and took up life as a hermit in a huge outcrop of rocks in the middle of the mountainside vineyards. The outcropping was known as Dassenstein. And over the years, the town folk came to believe that the girl was a powerful and good witch that watched over the blessed grape crops for wine.
Grapes.
The local wine cooperative goes by the name Hex von Dassenstein, also known as Witch of Dassenstein. Its wines are renowned through Europe, and in 1982, its Spätburgunder, which is the German word for Pinot Noir, it was named the best wine in Europe and was served to President Reagan during his ill-fated visit to Bitburg. Best wine in Europe, named after this lovely witch.
Okay.
So that, yeah.
Is it like a love potion?
Or maybe it brings together star-crossed lovers.
Or maybe it just makes people numb to the fact that the world is just a massive black hole.
God, I keep having like existential crises, just one after the other.
After you're done, I actually have something that I want to share for okay. you and our audience.
And there, okay. So there's also, of course, the legend of Hansel and Gretel. You know, we all know it. The two kids that were lured into the Black Forest by a cannibalistic witch. They escaped. The end. We all know that one. But the one I was most excited for was Der Grossmann. This I originally picked it because my Uncle Lionel's last name is Grossman, and he was like the nicest guy ever. And so maybe
he was just the nicest guy.
He really was, though. But anyways, so we're talking about Dare Grossman, who was not the nicest guy.
Devil man.
Yeah, yeah. So Dare Grossman means tall man. And it is believed that the Grimm's Brothers tale inspired the popular... Oh, so this is a Grimm's Brothers tale, by the way.
Okay.
And it inspired the popular creepypasta we all know as Slender Man.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I just got chills.
So Dare Grossman is actually not as scary as Slender Man.
Okay.
So Dare Grossman, according to the Slender Man Connection, which is where I got this, the Slender Man Connection fandom website, that's where I got this information. He's described as a tall, slender man with white spheres where his eyes should be, which is kind of horrifying. And in the 16th century, there is a wood carving of Dare Grossman that they pretty much gathered what his features look like. I saw the picture. And he looks like one of those inflatable men at the car dealerships.
The wacky waving inflatable arm floating tube man.
Yes. So Dare Grossman to me is not as scary. So yeah, he's not as scary as Slender Man, but he's considered to be a member of the Fae community. So he is a fairy, and he is known for finding children who enter the forest without the permission of their parents and stalking them until the child confesses their wrongdoings to their parents. So he's not, like, hurting them. He's just like, hey, gotta tell your mom. She's gonna know you're lying.
He's scaring them.
He's pressuring them
into,
exactly.
Let this be known, children. Do not lie, because that's why Slender Man follows you.
Have you ever noticed that Germanic folklore often revolves around punishing children for their wrongdoings?
Yes.
Like Belschnickel and Krampus.
Mm-hmm.
So, but do you see any misbehaving German children? No. No, you do
no.
not.
No.
No.
No. And
no Hitler jokes, there's low-hanging fruit.
But see, here's the fun part. Hitler was not really German.
Okay, so he doesn't count. And they don't like him there anyway.
Exactly.
So there's a translated account from 1702 that describes an alleged incident involving Dare Grossman. And I'm going to read this. This is like a journal writing from this guy. And he says, "My child, my Lars, he's gone, taken from his bed. The only thing that we found was a scrap of black clothing. It feels like cotton, but is softer and thicker. Lars came into my bedroom yesterday screaming at the top of his lungs that the angel is outside. I asked him what he is talking about, and he told me some nonsense fairy story about Dare Grossman. He said he went into the groves by our village and found one of my cows dead, hanging from a tree. I thought nothing of it at first, but now he's gone. We must find Lars, and my family must leave before we are killed.
No.
I'm sorry, my son. I should have listened. May God forgive me."
So, no.
Yeah, so that's my story.
That one made me very uncomfortable.
That's why I ended with that one.
Oh, man. Okay. I have to, in turn, make you uncomfortable now. You have just...
dear. Okay.
So, yesterday, I had this weird random thought just pop in, and I had to write it down. And it was about, like, dreaming and sleeping. And this is what I said. What if we never actually sleep, but instead when we go to bed, our consciousness goes to another reality where we live out our day there, and sometimes the same events happen in both realities, which is why we feel a sense of deja vu from time to time.
Oh! You just fucked my mind. You're gay. Oh my god.
You're welcome.
sweating now. I don't like that. This must be why I like feel really exhausted in the morning. I'm like, Jesus, I'd probably go be some kid's mother in another reality. I'm exhausted.
Right.
God. Like maybe. Wow, guys. Well, if we didn't win you over in the first episode, I think we maybe hit it out of the park.
I don't know. Yeah. I have to agree.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm a millennial, damn it. This is all I have. Toot, toot.
Toot, toot, bitch.
This and avocado toast, it's all I have.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but toot, toot, bitch. I'm good.
Well, wow. Yeah, thank you guys for joining us today. We have a special treat for you next week. We will be, instead of visiting a country, we are going to do a little getting to know your hosts episode. And we decided we will do kind of a combination episode between doing stories from like our hometown or home state or whatever, you know, and personal paranormal experiences.
Yes. Like, why are we fascinated about this stuff? Like, what caused us to want to look more into it? And, it's great. Yes. And we're going to have an amazing drink, too. So, you know, that helps.
Yes. But we can't tell you about that until next week. But it's going to be freaking good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm already excited.
My mouth is watering.
It's watering. I probably should diet in time.
Facts.
So yeah, we'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Murder Mystery, theme song by Luella Gren, logo by Lexi Wilson. New episodes air every Sunday on Apple, Google, Spotify, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts. This podcast is currently entirely self-funded, so in order to keep it going, we really rely on word of mouth. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, review, and of course, tell your friends. If you have questions, corrections, or location and story suggestions, you can email us at murdermysterypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @murdermystery. And don't forget to join us again next week.